Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus, and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. Today we have a great guest. I'm so excited to be talking to, well, not only an ambassador of one of the best health and beauty companies out there, Weleda UK, but also a dear friend, somebody that I've known for a long time working in this sector, dare I call it that, in the sustainable business arena. But as you know, we always start with a news piece. So before we get into speaking to our guest, Jane Stirland, I want to tell you a little bit about this news. So this was news that was in our My Green Pod magazine, the Organic September edition, which was the most recent one. We spoke to the Weleda Managing Director, Jane Stirland, about organic beauty and how a once perhaps niche sector is now inspiring mass market brands. And the article, it was amazing, actually, because it was the first time I think we'd actually got to really know Jane in a more personal way after she'd been running this company. So I'm really excited to be speaking to Jane now. But I want to just tell you this. So this week's news, Jane is the news. That's the bit we're going to focus on. But this is what the Weleda website says about Jane. Jane Stirland is the managing director of Weleda UK and number one in 2023's Who's Who of Natural Beauty. This is the 11th year that Jane has appeared in the top 25 and her seventh time in the number one spot. So clearly she's doing something right. It says in 2020, Jane was appointed to the advisory board of the British Beauty Council and in 2021 became chair of the council's Sustainable Beauty Coalition. In 2022, Jane joined the board of the Global B Corp Beauty Coalition. It's a collaboration of B Corp certified beauty brands and businesses. And that same year, Jane was presented with an Outstanding Achievement Award at NOPEX, N-O-P-E-X, for her tireless efforts championing sustainable business practices and driving change for a more planet positive future. In 2023, Jane was appointed ESG Pillar President for the British Beauty Council. She was also recently recognised in the CEO Today Business Women of the Year Awards as one of 100 inspirational female business leaders around the globe and received an award for Outstanding Leadership for Health and Wellbeing Company of the Year in the CEO Today Awards. So for over a decade, Jane has ploughed her energy into Weleda, helping to drive the beauty industry towards social and environmental responsibility and more sustainable business practices, a mission she continues as a public speaker and columnist. Welcome, Jane Sterling, to Lean Into Clean. Thank you for coming to join us.
Oh, thank you, Jarvis. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. And I'm so happy to be joining you on your show.
So are we. If having heard that back, I mean, it's always a bit tricky, isn't it, when you hear stuff about yourself? But having heard that back, is there anything missing from that you would like everybody to hear about yourself, how you would describe yourself?
I was thinking when you were introducing me, wow, I wish my teenagers were listening to this. So I guess what I would add is that I'm a mum. I have two teenage boys, a husband, a dog, of course, can't forget Bella. So I'm just I just try to do my best, juggling as we do. Professional juggler is what I think I call myself on Twitter.
That's
So that's what I would add.
brilliant, thank you. So no, really important, and actually we will get round to asking you about that, as we always do with our guests. Okay, so where did it all start for Jane and natural beauty and pioneering in a cosmetics industry that, quite frankly, is a bit dark and dirty, isn't it, if we look under the cover? So how did this all start for you?
All started a very, very long time ago, actually. But it took me a while to realize we all come into life with a purpose and spend our life's journey trying to rediscover what that purpose is. And I was born into a farming family, a family that went back generations of farmers on both my father's side. Both of his parents, rather, my grandparents came from a long line of farmers. So it's very much a typical farm, 24/7, living by the rules of nature, being out in the land, animals everywhere. I think at one point I was a bit of a catophile, and we had about 17 cats and dogs and livestock and so on. So it was just very much part of life. It was my life in the early days was very much geared around being part of this farming community, and be that, taking cups of tea out to the workers during harvest, or helping around the house, or stretching the soup because it's 12 people for lunch because they're on the farm, that kind of thing. That was the wallpaper. And so that was very much my father's side. My mother's side, she comes from a long line of doctors and nurses, and she was a doctor in general practice. So very much coming to Wooleader, I always said it felt like I was coming home. I've been at Wooleader now for 15 years, but that was very much the wallpaper of my childhood. And my gran made lots of things from, hedgerows, and there was always something boiling, and going into jars and being preserved. So yeah, that and a real love of food and good food and growing your own food and making things. I had a very strong kind of creative streak, alongside obviously having courses because I could. So that's where I really discovered my love of a natural life, because it that was the wallpaper that I literally in the house that I grew up in. And it's only been literally the last 15 years of coming to Wooleader and rediscovering that inner purpose, this drive for living in harmony with nature and your own health. And I'm sure that's something we'll go on to talk a lot more about.
We will indeed. Thank you so much. That's really, really interesting, because I obviously know a reasonable amount about the background of Walida and where it came from and its principles. But for those listeners that don't, just kind of share a little bit how that working with the natural environment in that kind of farming way, and also your mother being in health and well-being. How does that tie into Walida? What's the connection there for those people that don't know what Walida is all about?
So Wooleader was founded over 100 years ago, and it was founded by the polymath Austrian philosopher Rudolf Steiner. He worked across many fields. I think his probably most famous field is in education. So we see that today with Rudolf Steiner schools being a very large, if you like, alternative education establishment. And he worked with a Dutch doctor called Dr. Ita Wegman, and she was really the found, I would say the grandmother, the founder of what we now know as natural and organic cosmetics and traditional herbal remedies. And she, because she was a woman, she was in Switzerland, she couldn't be employed, so she had to set up her own clinic, employing other women doctors. So this was in the run-up to 1920. And in 1921, she opened her first school, or rather a centre for health and well-being. I could call it a hospital, I could call it a clinic, but it was kind of more than that. It was almost experimental. It was looking at how to bring in therapies and medicines from nature, so traditional herbal remedies and minerals, in to help support people to get better, to activate their own health and wellness. So that if that's the that that's the background to Walida, what came out of that was us becoming farmers. So we farm in a it's called biodynamics, it's like super organic. So we farm very much in a regenerative farming way. So we're putting a lot of effort into making the soil as fertile as possible using the soil microbiome. So not phosphates, but actually thinking about what creates a really healthy soil. And also that, the whole environment in terms of, having the right pest control. Well, they're the birds, to eat the slugs and so on. So we're farmers and we're doctors and we're pharmacists. We've studied health and the development of us as human beings through 7-year cycles and really looked at what we need to activate our health and wellness. So within this amazing clinic in Switzerland, Ita Wegman brought in a pharmacist, a guy called Oskar Schmiedel, who founded the pharmacy. And between Steiner and Ita Wegman and Oskar Schmiedel, they started to come up with a number of remedies, of which we sell many of them still today. Some of are medicines, some are pharmaceuticals, and some are those natural organic cosmetics we talked about earlier. But really, it's the same thing because the difference between a medicine and a cosmetic is just about the claim that you make and the, if you like, the level of safety within the product. So if it's toxic, then obviously it's more likely to become a medicine. But yeah, those three things go into Walida. So first of all, we farm and we create all of the plant-based materials. Secondly, we work with we have doctors and pharmacists within the company, but we also work with a global network of healthcare professionals. And then the third thing is that because we were founded upon an insight, a philosophy, not really a traditional business, we operate in a very, very different way. So we've always operated the triple bottom line, the people, profit, and planet. We've always been sustainable, or I prefer to use the term regenerative. And we go about our day to day very much within that lens of thinking about how we can work in harmony with nature, with the human being. I suppose leaning into clean, if I was to put it in one little sentence. And just thinking about when we're talking about profit is super important, but what's an appropriate level? How do we share that profit within the company and within our whole supply chain and with our farmers? How do we make sure nature isn't exploited within that? Yeah, and so on. So three lenses, very much health, very much about farming, and also about a regenerative business practice.
I'm always blown away when I hear that, because it's, we are in a the whole point of this show, Lean Into Clean, is to try and highlight some of the issues that are, in our hearts and on our TVs and in our minds and on our children's minds all the time, i.e. the climate crisis. Of course, there are other pressing issues going on around the world, but essentially we seem to be in a bit of a mess, don't we? And business in many ways has driven the consumer model. And now, if IPCC reports are correct, then the human behavior is having a massive impact, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm always blown away by it. Actually makes my hair stand on end. It makes me feel quite emotional that the ethics and the quality of running a business, you know, that literally was started 103 years ago or something. It's just mind blowing. Okay, where do we go from this? I want to just stay with the business for a little bit, if I may. So what does your day-to-day kind of operating, the way Jane operates within running that business in the UK and Ireland, what does a typical day look like for you, first of all? I just want people to get a feel a bit more for you and your role.
So it's very fair to say I don't run the company. There are 85 of us in the UK and 2,500 people globally. And that's kind of the first rule, I think. Traditionally in business, the managing director or CEO, everything kind of ladders back up to them and they make the decisions. And we've operated a collegial leadership system within Waleeda for many years. And that just doesn't operate from a senior management perspective. What that means is the philosophy is everybody's an expert, and that we're here to do two things. One is for the individual to shine and to thrive, but also for the organism, your whole organisation to shine and thrive whilst delivering our purpose. And so we're trying to balance the needs of the individual and the impact of the individual alongside the needs and the impact of the collective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's absolutely fascinating. So you asked about my day. Well, number one, every day is completely different, which is why I love it. I don't get bored. I've been here 15 years. I don't think I could ever get bored. And that could be anything from doing this, having a lovely conversation with a good old friend about things that really matter, all the way through to the usual stuff, you know, the compliance and governance, sales, profitability. How do we recruit the right sort of people to work with us? You know, how do we then retain that talent? How do we develop? But it's always about the collective for me. It's always about trying to have a voice. So, for example, the week before last, we closed the business for a whole day to talk about where we're at on our sustainability journey. So everybody in the whole company was in the room. And what we did was we framed the sustainable development goals coming from the United Nations. We talked about how we align those into our global targets. We had the global sustainability team with us. We talked about all of the things that we've achieved, by writing all that usual posts up on the walls and really starting to celebrate the sometimes very unique work that we do together collectively. There were things that I didn't even know about because we just get on and do it. And then in the afternoon, we then looked at then what's the system? What does the system need? What does the world need? What's our next step? What's the next 3-year vision? And we came up with 37 different ideas. And then we voted with our feet. We put them all on the floor and invited all 85 of us to go and stand on just the one initiative that really spoke to us. And we have 5 initiatives that have come out of that we literally voted with our feet. So
nice.
If I were to summarize, you know, what does Jane's job look like? I'm just in service to the system. Love the people that I work with. I adore the products. And I genuinely think we make a difference. So it's very varied.
Yeah, lovely, beautiful. I must admit, every person that I've met, having, you know, attended festivals where you'll see a leader stand or conferences or whatever, all the people that I've met have always been really beautiful. And that is a testament to the culture. I mean, culture is so important now, right? So I'm going to come back to you to talk about purpose, because you've said the word probably 4 or 5 times, and I want to know what purpose means to you. We are going to cut to a commercial break, so we're going to do that now. Jane, hold tight, and coming straight back to you, and we're going to talk about purpose.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Jane, welcome back. Thank you for that. We always have to get our UK Health Radio adverts out because, of course, they are supporters to help the show run and exist. Let's talk about purpose, Jane. So purpose is a real buzzword. It has been, you know, for the last kind of, I don't know, probably over the last decade, I would say, in the time that I've been involved in business. But what does purpose mean to you?
Such a great question, and I'm pausing. What does it mean to me? It's the essence of being. It's when things align, and it's there's a synchronicity or a serendipity about the work that you do. Things just, it's that you're in flow. And I very often find that when I'm not in flow, I need to ask myself, is this aligned into my purpose? If things are struggling to be manifested, to come through you, then, or sometimes we have to do things that can make us really quite poorly, that's when we're not in flow. That's when things get stuck. So for me, purpose is something that goes beyond just a thing, but it's very much about being in harmony and in sync with what I'm here to do.
I love that. I love that response. Really heartfelt. It's funny. I've been, and I don't mean funny, ha-ha funny. I mean, just kind of, it's opened up a can of worms for me because I've been talking about purpose to quite a lot of men lately. And the way that you responded to that, it was very much you being a part of something bigger than yourselves. That's the sense that I got. Gosh, doesn't it take a massive amount of integrity to be keep questioning, is this in alignment with my purpose? Oh, my God, I love that. I hope all the listeners felt that as well, because it certainly did touch my heart. OK, great. Thank you for that. That's very clear. So let's get back to, if we may, just the farming aspect of what Walida does, because you kind of said to, you know, we're essentially farmers, which I just think is beautiful. I mean, you're actually a global cosmetics, as you say, health and well-being company. You've got these iconic brands, the skin food that, you know, Simon Cowell and Cheryl Cole and, you know, all of those kind of big celebrities use and models, et cetera, et cetera. I use it every day, by the way. It's great for my beard and skin. That's why I look so young and healthy. But let's get to farming, because you talked about biodynamic farming and you did explain, you certainly touched upon what that is. So there's a lot going on in farming right now. There's a lot of issues around the soils that apparently there aren't many soils, there are many harvests left in the soils because the way they've been abused, the land's been abused. Tell me how biodynamic farming is different perhaps to another movement that's going on, i.e. regenerative farming. And then there's the organic nature of farming. So would you mind just kind of cluing us up a little bit more, helping us to lean into biodynamic and organic farming?
Biodynamic is an organic farming method. The difference between biodynamic and organic is that we only use what we can find within nature, within that piece of land. So, for example, with organic farming, you can use copper sulfate solutions, but we don't use copper sulfate solutions because copper sulfate isn't part of our land, isn't part of the biodiversity and of that piece of land. So what we will do is we will make our own preparations from things that we find within the land, or things that we bring in from a biodynamic farm, because we don't have cows. We would love to have cows, and hopefully one day we will have cows. We have within the UK, we have just under 15 acres of biodynamic land. That's land that's been certified by the Biodynamic Association through Demeter. And we bring in cow manure, we bring in various elements of the animal kingdoms from that farm into the land. We mix it with lots and lots of herb preps, so things like silica preps, things that we know will really enrich the soil, but not in an easily accessible kind of high sugar way. You know, like if you think about ultra processed food, fertilizers are produced like ultra processed food for soil and for plants, and the fertilizers only deliver a fraction of what a plant needs. The majority of nutrients a plant gets is actually from the microbiome of the soil. So of the 17, 18, 19, can't remember, essential ingredients for that plant to thrive and be healthy, only two come directly from photosynthesis. So the plant's photosynthesis is creating energy to send down into the soil to actually feed the microbiome of the soil. And then it's the byproducts from the fungi, from the bacteria, and from all of the biodiversity of the soil, or the earthworms, for example, and their byproducts that will then bring back the nutrients into the plant. So that's where, we've been doing it for over 100 years. And this is where science is just kind of catching up with us. So we had a wisdom. We inherently knew how to do this. So that's how I would describe biodynamics in terms of regenerative farming or permaculture or organic farming methods. We are a regenerative farming method. We just go that little bit further. So we say everything has to come from our own environment and has to be done in a particular way. And the preps are really super important. And if anybody's interested in learning more, Biodynamic Association is very active in the UK, great websites, there's some fantastic, you could even do biodynamic gardening at home. And it's really a way of how you balance nature within the system. That's how I would describe it, to make sure that we're providing the essentials for life with it within our land. So we will never get to the point where, we only have 60 harvests left.
Yeah, great. So it's symbiotically working, co-creatively, collaboratively, honourably, intentionally with nature. Love that. Going to come back to that. Well, I've always asked my guests to recommend a song or two that would potentially be a soundtrack to this issue that humans are calling a climate crisis, or the troubling times that we're living in. Jane, you've brought us a song. What's the song? We'll play it and then you can tell me how it makes you feel and why you chose it. What's the song called?
So I'm going to share with you a song that it's one of those songs where I put on, I just can't stop smiling. I dance around, well, I dance wherever I am, in the kitchen or in the sitting room, in the bathroom, or even in the car. But it just makes me really want to smile. Nice. There's a bit of a story to it. So the song is by an amazing artist called Chicane, and Chicane are kind of literally, he's produced a soundtrack to my life. So again, that's super cool. But the inspiration from this particular track, which is Poppy Hollow by Chicane, came from an Icelandic band called Sia Ross, and the original was called Hoppy Poller, not Poppy Holler. Mm-hmm. And it was used for one of the soundtracks for Planet Earth, so David Attenborough's Planet Earth series. So I haven't chosen the Sia Ross version. Which is amazing. So if you really like this track, do look up the Hoppy Holler by Sia Ross. Mm-hmm. But this one, which is Poppy Holler, which is the inspiration, if you like, from the Sia Ross original, you just want to dance.
Well, let's hear it. Let's see who gets up and boogies. Thanks, Jane. Let's listen to the song. Such an uplifting song. It's so beautiful. Gosh, it reminds me of being out free dancing and raving, dare I say it. But fabulous song. Great choice. Anything you'd like to add about why you chose it, or did you say enough at the front?
Well, I think you've just said it, Jarvis. You and I are all ravers. You know, it's really hard. There's a fantastic podcast called Outrage and Optimism with Christiana Figueres, Tom Rivett Carnock, and Paul Dickinson. I struggle with that. I struggle, you know, am I outraged? Am I optimistic? Or am I just frankly bloody depressed about what is going on at the moment, particularly with decisions that are being made that are out of our control and so on, and the things that we're reading about. So I just think, you know what, we've just got to smile, we've got to find joy in something. So I don't think I'm outraged. I don't think I'm optimistic particularly, but I am absolutely certain the answer lies in love, laughter and joy.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's a great metaphor for life. Just to dig in a bit deeper into that kind of outrage, because we all have every reason to be outraged, and certainly we need to be optimistic, although it gets more and more difficult by the day. As a mum, you know, you've got your family, and you know, you've grown up in an industry, having come from farming, grown up in an industry that you know is, you know, toxic. We're not even going to go there because most of our listeners will know what the terrible parts of the cosmetic industries are. But how have you dealt with that? With kind of inspiring and giving hope and being a role model or a soul model, dare I say it, for the children?
I came to a mum quite late in life, and I had already built a very successful career, but in fashion. And I realised very quickly that I could, if I was going to continue with a job and being away from the kids and so on, that it had to count, it had to be worth something. So I actually left the fashion industry after I'd had both my two boys, and because I wanted to do something that would count and make a difference. So we all make choices. Some of us will make the choices that we can afford to make. I have to say, I went pretty much cold turkey and just walked away and said, I don't really know what I'm going to do. But what I'm not going to do is add to the problems of the world. You know, we know that the fashion industry is the second most unsustainable industry that we have, and we have way too many garments that really have no life in them. They're only designed to be worn a few times, not even washed. So yeah, those are very conscious choices for me. I've been a lifelong vegetarian, which I would say wasn't very trendy growing up on a beef farm in the 70s, but hey, you know, we have to be able to look ourselves in the mirror. And sometimes I say to people, you know, buying a pint of organic milk is a form of activism. These are the choices that we can make, and the biggest impact that we can have. You know, you said earlier, and I was saying it too, these things that are going on in the world, we feel so disempowered. But actually using our money and making our choices and making our voice heard will make a huge difference. So even the smallest thing, like, you know, it says on the bottle when you're washing your hair, use two applications. You don't need to. Mm. And you certainly don't need to wash your hair every day. In fact, once a week is fine. Mm. So very often I feel that the industry is all geared up to new products, promising us a new product that will, you know, take years off us and enhance our life and so on. You know, at the end of the day, for goodness sake, it's going to be, you know, a leave-on product like a moisturizer or a wash-off product's not going to change your life. It's not going to make that big a difference. And it's all about new products. It's all about us making us apply more and consume more. So we just need to get back to basics, just have some common sense. Mm. And that's how we can make a difference, I think, using our money really wisely and waking up to the fact that we live in a consumerist paradigm. where, you know, literally money makes the world go round. Well, let's make some conscious choices with the money that we spend, because particularly in my area, you need very, very, very few products.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about that. And do you think, just very quickly, do you think that very wise way of being, do you think that's rubbed off on your children? Have you noticed that they have been inspired by, yeah, good. So it has worked.
I do.
Yeah.
Quietly.
Yeah, it's hard,
because
isn't it?
You don't want to preach. You absolutely don't want to preach.
And they have to find their own journey as well, don't they? And
exactly.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about some of the, you know, you're running a holistic, a natural, you know, transparent, honest cosmetic stroke pharmaceutical health and well-being company. What are some of the things that people need to look out for in the industry that are, as you said, are absolutely unnecessary? Would you say it's packaging, ingredients, the illusion of the marketing? You know, where has it gone wrong?
So first of all, we're an industry where we put effectively water in a plastic bottle and ship it around the world and charge a fortune for
it. Which sounds ludicrous, doesn't it?
That's effectively what we've become.
Yeah.
The majority of those ingredients beside the water come from the petrochemical industry. So we are a really good profitable outlet for a lot of petrochemical ingredients, none of which are compatible with our skin. Because of that, and because some very, very high prices are paid, like we could be spending £90 on a skincare cream, then we're then fueling all the advertising that's telling us we need to buy this product and we need to buy it, you know, buy more and more and more. So it's a vicious cycle, Jarvis.
It's a spin, isn't it? It's a spin and a treadmill, and we need to get ourselves out of it. Look, let's just go to a commercial break. I do want to come back to this. I think it's really important to dig a little bit deeper. But let's go to commercial break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. Leaning to Clean. As you know, we're talking to Jane Stirland, UK Country Manager, Managing Director of Weleda UK. Jane, we were just talking about some of the problems, some of the issues in the cosmetic and health and well-being beauty space. And petrochemicals came up, and we'll go into that a little bit deeper. But I just want to ask you, first of all, who's who in natural beauty? You've been nominated X amount of times. You've won it for the last 7 years running. What's that about? What is Who's Who Natural Beauty Award, first of all? And then what kind of position does that put you in to be able to speak to others in the industry? And have you noticed you're having an effect in a good way?
First of all, it is literally the Who's Who voted for by the industry. So you can't nominate yourself. You have to be nominated. Which I find amazing that
yes,
the industry's nominated me for the last 7 years or last 11 years, and I have won it for the last seven. I'm genuinely really, really humble about this. And I think if I was, if you know, such a good question. So why you, Jane? I just speak from the heart. And I've been passionate about this purpose, you know, about what we're putting on our skins and the impact what we put on our skins has on our health. I think forever. What we put in our mouths, what we put in our system, you know, the whole thing is just seen, particularly growing up on a farm, as I say, with a mum who's a doctor, all of the kind of the way, the common sense, old-fashioned way of living compared to how we live today, you know, that background really helps articulate my voice. And just want to share what we know. I have been so privileged and lucky, really, really lucky, to join Walida, and we spend a lot of time talking about this. We were founded on the philosophy, as I said. You know, there's a huge amount of knowledge that we have in the business. I've been so lucky to have been mentored and taught by people who know an awful lot more than I do. And then for us to articulate it out into the world, we celebrated our 100th anniversary in 2021, and Penguin Books approached us, saw our Instagram posts and, you know, sharing this wisdom, and said, we think there's a book in this. And we pulled it together with me and some amazing colleagues just over, I think, the space of about 10 weeks. And so a lot of that wisdom is in Walida Wellness Everyday book, which you can buy. But that kind of having access to that knowledge and having access to that, dare I say it, common sense, and putting it out into the world is, I think, what the beauty industry should be doing. And I'm joined by, you know, I was going to say 24 other amazing people in the top 25. Actually, there's many, 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 many more people that don't get noticed. And this is, we've created a movement, and we need to, because, you know, you said it earlier in your introduction, organic beauty's gone from niche to mainstream. All of the big brands now have, if they're not, haven't got their organic beauty range, then they've converted their mainstream commercial ranges into organic beauty. There are some brands with the term organic in the title that use less than 5% organic ingredients, because we don't have, you know, unlike food, you can't say it's organic if it isn't. That's not true of beauty. Then there isn't hard-hitting legislation like there is in food. There's some guidelines, and you know, you can be pulled up by the CMA or the Advertising Standards Association and so on. But in general, our industry is rife with greenwashing. So the more we can speak out, the more we can use our thought leadership, the more we can educate, the better. And I hope that, you know, my people voting for me to win that award isn't actually a vote for me. It's a vote for Walida, and it's a vote for the path that we've taken for the last 100 years.
Nice. And of course, you're the spokesperson, I guess, or the ambassador, or the. But I do get the collegiate community-based business that you're running, which is beautiful. Okay, so what do people need to look out for then? If they don't want to be buying toxic, and this show is all about leaning into clean, what do people need to look out for to lean into clean in your sector?
It's really simple. First of all, I would ask yourself, do you need another product? We all need toothpaste, we need soaps, we need cleansers, we need moisturizers, of course we do. But that's pretty much it. Lots of research tell us that an average woman in the Western world uses 14 beauty products a day. That's just on average. I use a lot less than that. I'm sure somebody else is using a lot more than that. And men are catching up too. Men traditionally use between 4 and 7 products. So beyond the very basics, why are you using that product? And if it's a product that you love and it really gives you joy, fantastic. After, do I really need to use this product? The second question to ask is, okay, great, what's in it? And legally, certainly within Europe and within the States, there's something called an INCI code, which is basically just a list of all the ingredients that go into that product, with one exception that I'll explain in a moment. So you can look up what's in your product. There's going to be a lot of water, there's going to be a lot of oil, there's going to be a lot of emulsifiers to obviously blend the oil and the water together. There'll be some actives, there'll be some preservatives, because most of our products, we will have between 48 months and 60 months of shelf life, because it has to go and sit in a store somewhere. So, mm-hmm. you know, there will be certain things in there that you'll want to know about. And you can have a look, and it's usually in Latin names, and it probably won't mean very much to you, but there are plenty of places you can go to, you know, go to Google, first of all, but there are plenty of other specialist apps that you can have on your phone. You can scan barcodes, or websites where you can go and put this name in, and you can find out exactly what's going on your skin. The exception is perfume, because that's deemed as a trade secret. So there could be 200 different chemicals within a perfume, and a company doesn't have to declare them. And a lot of them are known allergens. Now, the known allergens have to be declared, but there's a lot of things that will be known allergens in the future that at the moment aren't. Mm-hmm. So there are some products out in the marketplace, particularly for teenagers, and I know, having had two teenage boys, that some people are allergic to. And in fact, there have been deaths from perfume. I think on average we have about 4 deaths in the UK every year due to reactions to perfumes. So, you know, don't think that just because you're putting it on your skin, it's not going to harm you.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't do. We have legislation in place, but there is always the exception.
Well, that's really useful. Okay, so let's talk about certification, because I know one of the things that Walida is, you know, really, really hot on is certification. So tell me about the certified aspects of products, and who should we be looking out for if we want to be leaning into clean and buying toxic free?
The easiest thing to do is to look for a certification seal. That's an independent body that has checked out what you're putting into your ingredients is natural and cosmetic, natural or organic. So the two main seals, or the two main seals we have in the UK, is the Soil Association seal, which mm-hmm. is part of a global network called COSMOS. Soil Association do some amazing work. Lots and lots of information on their website for great beauty brands using Soil Association. Or there's Natru. We're part of the Natru certification because we're a global brand. So we have to try to find one certification that we can use across all of our 50 plus markets. And Natru are based in Brussels. They're a not-for-profit organisation. They're really a lobbying organisation into the European Parliament to lobby for much better standards for the products in our industry. So first of all, look for independently certified products. That'll tell you about the ingredients. You can also look for something like B Corp certification, which is short for benefit company. So it's like a sustainability. Actually, it's more than sustainability, but it's about the regenerative practices that you use, both for people, like how much do you pay people, how much do you pay your suppliers, you know, do you operate a fair and ethical business, and again, lots and lots of information online. There's some really fantastic websites. There's B Corp itself. There's also B Lab that manages B Corp within the UK and Europe. So independent certification is absolutely the way forward.
Yeah, great. So just to be clear, Soil Association, which you'll see on the packet, right? Natru, you'll see on the product itself.
On the front of the packet.
Yeah. and the B Corp labelling. Okay, brilliant. We're going to go to your second song, because we are coming close to the end of the show now, which is such a shame because I could talk to you all day. Just tell us, what's your second song choice, please, Jane?
It's the obvious one. It's Louis Armstrong, It's a Wonderful Life. And I can't listen to this without being completely transported to a different place, and usually ending it with a tear in my eye.
Great. Let's listen to Louis. What a Wonderful World.
I see trees of green, red roses too.
Yeah. What a wonderful word, such a beautiful song. Jane, we have come to the closing, to the end of the hour. Is there one golden nugget of something that Jane would like to say to a listening audience that you would like to leave on as a note?
I have a little phrase, which is buy less and buy better. Apply it to anything and everything, because I think that's where we can make the biggest impact, actually making those decisions, conscious decisions about what we purchase. So I know it's very trite, but we live in the world that we live in is very, very difficult to navigate as an individual, but know that you have power. And if you buy less and buy better, you'll be doing good.
Love it. Buy less, buy better. You heard it from Jane Stirland. It's been a great joy having you, Jane. Thank you so much. Just also to remind everybody that, you know, Walida.co.uk, Walida International, they are amazing products. If you really want to be putting nourishing, organic, toxic-free quality products onto your body, and also the pharmaceutical side of things, do have a look at Walida. See what you can switch out of your life today and into something that is, you know, coming from a regenerative, organic, biodynamic farming principled company that's been around for 100 and something years. So, you know, clearly it's doing something right. Jane, thank you so much. We love you. And we'll hope to get you on again in the future. Thank you.
Jarvis.
So, as you know, we're coming to the end of the show. Wow. I mean, that was just such a beautiful, heartfelt conversation. And I hope you felt that too. Just going to remind you that if you want to read up more about Walida and Jane, there is the article at mygreenpod.com in our Organic September edition. There's also 4,500 other articles there on all kinds of different ways to lean into clean. We're going to out the show as usual with the song that I sing in partnership with Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Futures movement. The track's called Save the World. This song, I've dedicated 100% of the any money that I would earn from singing the song in royalties to the Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Future Mapper movement. That's the most affected people and areas. So have a listen to the song. If you like it, please add it to your Spotify playlist. Send it out to friends, play it on YouTube, wherever you can. Let's rack up as much cash as we can and let's donate it to the people that most need it. This is Save the World by Jarvis Smith. Thank you again, and we'll see you next week.